Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can come together today. Thank you, Lord, that we can come before you to praise you, to worship you, to acknowledge, Lord, the things that you have done for us. And we come to your word now. Help us, Lord, to have ear to hear, eyes to see, Lord, what you have done and what, Lord, we are and have today. Let us receive it. Let us acknowledge those things so that may be manifested in our life. And we may, Lord, have even more reason for rejoicing for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I'm going to be talking about the new creation today. And, you know, what I want to get across is that this is not a theory or a theology or a doctrine. This is an experience that we had to come into. So that is not abstract idea, but it's actually something that we live moment by moment, day by day. And we have a part in actually experiencing that. We have to understand that Jesus made us able to have this experience 2,000 years ago, and anybody can have it as they respond and connect with him, relate to him in the right way. We have to understand that this is something that wasn't available for thousands of years before. And we had to come to the realization that we actually know and experienced it. We know and live it. Okay. See, the Old Testament people couldn't do that. Didn't have that new life inside them. Didn't have that miracle happen to them that made them not the same thing that they were before. And we had to understand that. Okay. All the righteousness that they could have by following the law and doing the right thing and listening to God and trusting God wasn't enough to have what we have today. That we should experience, not just talk about it as something that we could have. We should actually know it because we live it, because we are, because we have it. Okay. The only thing they could do then is to trust the Lord. Okay. And even then they were getting blessing, okay, physical, financial, emotional, every area of their life. But they were nothing compared to what we should have today, because we have a new life inside us. We have the life of God, the eternal life in us. And as we have this eternal life, that should affect our physical life. See, if it doesn't do anything, there is nothing there. But we have a part we play in really be able to experience and receive it and see it and understand it and feel it. This is not just something that we learn, something that we agree with our mind or disagree with our mind. is not just, you know, is deeper than just something we just think about it. Should be functioning, operating inside us and producing results, making a difference, because we are different if we ever received it. Okay. And this is, you know, is going to be much more than anything that was could be done before. You know, says, you know, that Proverbs 3, verse 6 says, you know, that we had to acknowledge him. And the word there is, you know, yada. That means, you know, we had to experience him. We should have that experience to a much deeper level. Because he isn't outside us, isn't someplace there, he's inside us. Okay. And when that happens, okay, when that is real to us, and we start believing it not with our head, but with our heart, then things are going to be different. There's going to have an impact on really everything that we are and have. Okay, the word, oh God, is not something that we learn. It's something that we live. They should be living inside us. You know, Hebrews 4:12, you know, says that the word of God is living and powerful. Well, you can read the word and have absolutely no effect whatsoever. But when the word starts to be living in you, you know, the word is not powerful and living on a piece of paper. Is powerful in living when it is not even powerful in living when you have it in your mind. Becomes powerful in living when you have it in your heart. That's where it becomes effective. That's where it becomes powerful and, you know, and living, because that's the place in which it has to work. We had to see when in our heart, then, you know, the power that is there contained in the content, the Logos, becomes actual and becomes effective and becomes operational the way it was on Jesus. He was the Word made flesh. Because he received it, he believed it, not just in his head, but in his heart, and he was living it. This is what has to happen with us. We had to become the living word. As we receive it before in our mind, but then we had to allow it to go down deep inside us so that we actually believe it with our heart. And when that takes place, then, you know, the effectiveness and the power of it is manifested. But first we are going to be exposed to it. First we are going to be looking at it. But then we have to embrace it, receive it. You do that when you start, you know, allowing to go deep inside you and meditate on it. See, that is going to make the difference. Okay? Then it's going to separate stuff. Is going to divide things, separate the flesh from the spirit, enable to understand things. But when it's superficial, you can read the scripture and you get absolutely nothing. But when your heart is open and you are there, allowing that to operate in you, like says in Proverbs chapter 4, you know, verse 20 and 24, you know, just embracing it, being inside, allowing it to be there, then it's like the switch goes on and it starts producing the power. This is so important to understand. You know, in John chapter 1, verse 1 and so on, it talks about Jesus who was the Word made flesh. There is power when the Word starts operating at our heart level. And the power that was there is the power that Jesus manifested when he was walking around in Galilee in those days, and he was able to do things that were supernatural. Because the Word is supernatural. They are spirit and they are life. It's just, you know, Bible study doesn't do it. Because it's still mental. And in the mental realm, there is not much power. But when it's reached the level of the heart, then the power is released in your life, in the thing, the way you see things, the way you handle things, the way you cope with life, the way you actually function and act and operate and feel about things. You know, it touches all the aspects of your life, both mentally, physically, and emotionally. Your behavior definitely is affected. If it's not affected, then it isn't going deep enough. And we have a part to do, okay, by renewing our mind, by meditating on it, by dwelling in it, by staying in it. And when we are staying in it and dwelling in it, when it dwells in you, it just releases the truth in us, in you, and you are going to be free. You are going to be powerful. You are going to be able to do what the Word says. You are going to be acting according to it. But if you think about all the other things, what the news in TV is, or what the newspaper says, or what everybody goes around saying, you're going to do exactly what they do. And you lose all the ability to achieve what God wants to do with you. Okay. Jesus changed everything for you. The way it was before, and in the moment, you know, and you know, he made available everything. But not everybody takes advantage of that. Nobody, you know, actually utilizes what he has done. Only those that, and it doesn't matter if you call you a Christian or not. Okay, if you do not allow the Word of God to penetrate in you and to work in you, and you just go through the emotions and the things that are physical and mental, it's not going to be much there. There are not going to be the changes, the impact, the power that God wants to release in you. Okay, but, you know, it all starts by you believing it. You see, your attitude in approaching the Word, as God speaking to you, opening your heart for it to go in and change your judgment, your ideas, your values, everything, then that is producing the result. That is going to manifest it. Okay. So I'm going to just, you know, encourage you. What the Holy Spirit wants to do with you, if you receive the Holy Spirit, if you're born again, he wants to direct you, and this is what Jesus did. Okay, he put the helper inside you, the paracletos, the one who is in your side, not the one who puts you down. Okay, to help you to do what? To help you to appropriate what Jesus has made available to you, and he's going to show you the things you need to understand, and you know, and you, he's connecting with you so that you can connect with God, with the things that God has prepared for you. This had to be, you have a part you play. And it's a personal part that you had to play with us. That, you know, it just doesn't happen, you know, in mass. Happen as you personally establish a living relationship with the Word, with the Holy Spirit, and it brings a living relationship with God. God, that is his desire. And what that's going to do is going to change everything. Okay. God has done everything that needed to be done. Now it's our part. It's the time that we had to move in and start to do our part. And our part is not to deserve anything. You know, it's just a question of opening up for him so that the work that he did is going to be a reality for us and is going to be manifested in our life. Hallelujah. Okay, but this involves, okay, a decision that you make. See, you have to be wanting that. You have to be wanting to manifest this new life inside yourself, because God leaves you free to choose. God leaves you free to completely go any way you want. But his desire is to manifest his glory and what he has provided for you in your life. But you have to be making a decision that you want it, and you have to open up to him. And that involves not just a little prayer that you do. This involves an ongoing desire, ongoing seeking, ongoing being open, ongoing being willing, ongoing focus on his perspective, his what he wants to give us, so that you are constantly seeking that. And you know, essentially, that decision makes all the difference. It's not something you say, okay, just want Jesus as my Lord and so on, and everything is going to be. No, this is a beginning decision that involves a complete shift in your mentality, in your attitude, and you know, in believing what God has wanted to do with you, and that he is enabling you to do it, and he's empowering you through his word to be able to achieve it and manifest it. That's the step and the part you play. He is the one who gives you the power. He is the one who gives you the ability. He is the one that gives you the breakthrough. He is the one that gives you a new life inside. But you are the one that has to want it, and as the one that has to choose it. Because you can choose to stay the way you are and you have always been, or start living differently. Because his life is being manifested in you. So you have to make that decision. That decision is an ongoing decision. It's not just something, you know, not just something that you do a prayer and that's it. No, that is actually an ongoing openness, desire, and willingness to have this life manifested in you. And so, you know, I think maybe a good idea just to recognize, okay, that if we want that, essentially we had always to be praying for that to be so. It's not something that you do once and you forget about it. If you do once and you forget about it, you get exactly what you did. You forgot about it. You're going to be doing other things. See, your focus, your attention, your direction has to be always in that way, because that's the decision you made. Paul talks about the new man and the old man that are there coexisting inside you, which is really, you had to choose, who are you? It's not the decision moment by moment. It's not just something that, you did 10 years ago and it's all resolved. Because you can choose who is running the show. Okay. And so that's what makes the difference. That's what manifests a different life and gives you a different experience about life. I think we can do maybe just few words of prayer in that direction. Okay. That you want that to be manifested, that you are allowing the word to dwell in you, and you dwell in it. Okay? Praise you, Lord. Thank you for what you have done for us. I want to experience your life in me. Guiding him, directing my actions, and giving an experience down here on earth of what it's like to be in heaven in communion with you. I thank you for that reality that can be in me today. And I want to remain in that place of communion and unity with you. Because from that place, I'm going to live a life that is worth living, that is pleasing you, and is producing good fruit in my life and the life of those around me. I thank you for that power that you have released in my life, and I want to manifest it in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, this is really what he wants. That's what he wants for us to experience. Okay? This is not a doctrine or a theory or a theology is an experience that he wants us to have. Because theology is on a piece of paper. It's maybe in your mind that you agree with it or not. But you know, it's not a question of agreeing. It's a question of being something here. God wants you to be righteous. God wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God wants you to be filled with life instead of death. Praise the Lord. Okay. It says very clearly in 1 Corinthians 5:17, okay, that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, old things have become new. But you go around sometime and you see people that supposedly are new creation and they behave like the world. So what's the matter? What's wrong with that? That's a really wrong result, wrong manifestation. Because they do not understand that they have a choice. Okay? This is important to understand. See, all things are God that has reconciled us. So if we are reconciled and have given us a ministry of reconciliation, you know, we ourselves are connected with him. And if we are connected with him, we are in his presence and he's in us. We have to be conscious. See, our consciousness is what makes all the difference. Where is our consciousness taking us? He's taking us to look at the world. And that's our consciousness. what happens on the street, what happens on TV, what happens on the news, what happens around, or what is the reality that he has created for us. The world, the way, you know, he wants us to manifest it. And he empowers us to do that. But we had to choose it. We have a part. See, we had to manifest the eternal life that is in us. The eternal life in us that is really the life of God. That means, you know, God's life is in us. We are connected with him. I mean, we should know and experience that connection, that unity with him. That's what Jesus' prayer. Jesus' prayer for us wasn't just a question of, oh, we are going to agree together. No, he wanted us to all be connected with the Father, with him, with the Holy Spirit, and then all the other stuff fall in place. Who cares? That's what makes the difference. And we had to, if God is with you, in you, and you are connected with him, you should know it. Hello? I mean, don't say, oh, God is with me, and you have no idea what's going on. Well, if there's no idea, nothing is going on. Okay. When you are connected with God, you know his presence. You know that he's with you. You know that you are with him. And, you know, the things that you start to get there is by allowing his word, which God and his word are the same thing, from your point of view, from your consciousness point of view, because your consciousness has to do with words. So you connect with his word, and then when the word becomes connected and established and rooted in your heart, guess who? Who is working there? Who is controlling the show? You are going to be lined up with him. Okay? How can two walk together, you know? When two walk together, they're going to walk in the same direction. They're going to agree with one another. Praise the Lord. See, that's, you know, the result of being really, you know, a new creation is that we are going to have eternal life, the life of God inside us, that we walk in the Spirit, that we are communion with God, that we, our behavior, our action, our thoughts, our things are going to line up with him. Okay. So, our consciousness tells us we are connected with. Because that's what is given to us for. It's not something nebulous or strange or things, you know. We are aware. What we are aware of, that's what counts. And we can choose what we are focusing on, what we are aware of. Okay. See, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 says, you know, do who are Christ's, have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. So, you know, if you are Christ, I mean, if you are in communion with him, if you are in this space that I've been talking about, you know, you have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. So this is something that you do consciously. It just doesn't happen by chance or by thing. You know, you had to decide to crucify because crucify is a pretty clear thing that you had to do. That means you say no, you just don't want that stuff. It's a decision you made, so you choose to walk with God's word, God's ideas, God's thought, instead of walking the other way. And it's not that you are doing that to deserve what you got. It's that you just made that decision in the past, and that stuff, those desires, those passions, those things are dead. because you made that choice. And each time they try to revive themselves, you just crucify them again. And after you crucify them a few times, there is not much life left in them. But the other life, the one of God, becomes stronger and stronger because they take over and they start ruling inside you. So that you have that communion that is working with you more and more. And you are reconciled with God, and you go around, and the effect you have on others, that they get reconciled too. And this is why you got the ministry of reconciliation, that you really, they can see the power. You know, it's the same Jesus had the ministry of reconciliation. He wasn't going around condemning people, was he? He was condemning the one that didn't want to have that relationship. He wanted to go according to the rules. Those are the ones that he had to fight against all the time, because they were fighting against the fact that he was in communion with the Father. See, living the life of the new man inside you is a conscious choice that you make. That you must make. Because it's not going to happen automatically. It's not going to happen if you are distracted. If you are confused, your life is going to be confusing. You're going to be all over the place, not knowing what to do. But when you are focused, understanding, realizing, and the Word is within you and is working and showing the truth is going to guide you and empower you and set you free. There is no wavering, no confusion, nothing like that. Okay. And this is why, we have to understand that our consciousness, our awareness is important. And we have to direct our consciousness according to what? The Word. Not according to our feelings. Our feeling can go all over the place. One morning you wake up with a headache and you feel sorry for yourself. That doesn't help you. Just you have the life of God inside you and you can say, wait a minute. You don't have the right to be aching. And you just get off here. The life of God is inside me. God doesn't have any headaches. Are you following me? See, but if you don't take that position and you let the things around you affect you, what happens is that you're going to go by the circumstances. You are called to have dominion over the circumstances. That's what God did with Adam before he lost it. That's what Jesus did all the time. He wasn't going around, being influenced by the people around him. He was doing what he wanted to do, and he was doing what God wanted him to do. And when we start having the same life that he had, having the same direction that he had, because he was the Word, and we become more and more the Word, then we are going to have the same experience. Praise the Lord. Okay. Our conscious choices make all the difference. Romans 8:5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You see, where your mind is set. See, that's what you had to learn to do. You set your mind on the right thing. If you set your mind on the TV set, that's the wrong set to look at. Okay. What you have to do is to, you know, the things that you are setting yourself for and on is going to be determining everything on your experience. Praise the Lord. Okay. These are precise, conscious choices that you must make, because God gives you the ability and free will to choose whatever you want. And according to what you choose, you're going to be rewarded. Simple as that. But you have to realize sooner or later, hopefully sooner, that to choose to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritual minded, okay, is life and peace. See, that's the difference. I mean, that's the way that your life is going to be all the outcome. Life, okay, the mind is, life is the opposite of death. It's offering you all the bad things, all the, and peace is really shalom, really, that is actually means, you know, prosperity in all the areas of your life. That's where, you know, if God is with you, doesn't matter what the circumstances are, that's what you experience. That's really the new man experience for you should be. He should, you know, who would choose things that have to bring death? Okay. If you arrive spiritually, you're going to have life and you're going to have peace. So if you don't have peace inside, you know, something is off. They need to be changed. Your consciousness, your awareness has to be shifted from the things that have been shifted recently to something that is going to bring that life to you. Doesn't matter what the world around you. See, you are going to control, have dominion over the world you're in. And the dominion comes from the inside. It's not that you are there controlling people. That's the way demons do. You just bring life with you, because life is inside you. And you cannot give anything else but life if you are there with the God's life inside you. Hallelujah. But the sooner you get distracted by the world, by the things that are going on in the world, and the word of God becomes less and less present, you're going to line yourself up with the world. There's no way. Because what you focus on, you give power. Okay. And whatever is the carnal mind is enemy with God, says in Romans 8:7. That means, you know, you're going to separate. The unity is not going to be there anymore. And you wonder, why I don't feel God anymore? You left him. He didn't leave you. You left him and you went somewhere else. So what happens? Doesn't feel anymore the same. See, to keep the power and the presence of God inside you is easier than try to get into that space. But once you are there and you remain there, it's easier to keep. Because by itself, it generates that thing. But the very moment when you start shifting yourself and you start looking at the world and start being connected with the world and the things of the world and allow those things to have an effect on you, you lose it. You lose that power. Jesus was praying for us just to have that experience. Wasn't trying to create you know, a religion. He was trying to create a group of people that are children and sons of God, connected with him, manifesting God on earth the way he was manifesting God on earth when he was there. He was showing people what God is like. Okay, that's really, you know, and you should, you know, your consciousness should help you to determine what's going on inside you. Okay. If you are connected with him, there are going to be some natural manifestation. We said before, life and peace. Okay, in Romans 8:1, you know, there's no condemnation on those who walk that are in Christ Jesus. So, you know, you are not going to be feeling condemned about anything. There's lots of religious people that go feeling condemnation all the time. Well, evidently, the life of God is not operating in them, because if you are, you know, if the life of God is inside you, there is no condemnation, says it very clearly. And at that time, you are not walking according to the flesh, but you're according to the Spirit. That means your focus, your attention, your things is on the Word. The Word is Spirit and life. The life of God is inside you, is ruling you, is guiding you, empowering you. You shouldn't feel bad, because if you feel bad, that means the devil is working. The child too knows that, you know, the devil is bad, God is good. But, you know, theologians make it complicated, and so people end up being more confused about stuff. And you come out with some crazy theory that doesn't make any sense. Praise the Lord. Okay. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. That means, you know, that you can feel condemnation. You are not going to do anything wrong, because God is taking over your behavior, your life, your feelings, your desires, your emotions, everything. And even your circumstances, if you let him. So that is, you know, what your experience should be as a born-again believer. And he said, you know, you set your mind on spiritual things. You have communion with God. You walk in the Spirit. You have the same lives that Jesus said when he was walking on earth. With supernatural manifestation, should be there. They should be there, because the life of God is operating there, and so it manifests naturally to do the things that God can do. You know, they ask Jesus, you know, what can we do that we can do the work of God? Exactly this. It's not something that you can do. It's God working in you. Okay. You have dominion over the circumstances around you, and, you know, just the same as the beginning. I mean, that seems to me pretty good situation. Hallelujah. See, there are so many places where the Bible talks about the way, you know, what we should experience. I'm trying to convey to you, okay, that your consciousness, what's going on in your conscious mind, is very important. And the decision you made in the way you feel about things makes all the difference. Okay? You know, and make all the difference in the result we get and what happens to us. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, then if then you were raised with Christ. That means, you know, I mean, that means that that's the condition. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. So you see, that's one of the things we have to do. This is something that we have to be there. That's what we seek for. We don't seek worldly things. You know, the temptation I'm talking about last week or 2 weeks ago, you know, I was talking about, you know, all the different worldly lusts that we otherwise are going. Okay. If we are raised, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, raised up together, you know, and if we are raised up together, it's a condition, then he made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Past tense. I mean, we should be sitting in heavenly places today. And we have to be conscious of that, not just as a theory or as an idea that, you know, the more we are going to be walking that way, the more this is going to be manifested even in our experience. We should experience that. That's what I'm telling you. And if we don't, it's because we are not understanding, we are not appreciating, we are not focusing, we are not setting our mind on heavenly things, we are setting mind on earthly things. And if you have set your mind just the same way as the children of Israel, when they were in the desert, they were looking at the desert. They were looking, there was no water. They were looking at it. They always had water anyway, but, you know, they survived. There was nobody dying of thirst. But, you know, they just were complaining anyway. They got at the promised land, and there they were complaining that the people there was giants and they were eating them up. And what happens? They stayed in the desert and died there. The one that got inside are the ones who were saying about what God has said. And said, no, we can certainly get inside because he said it and we are going to get it. See, that's the thing that's going to make the difference. See, what you focus on, if you focus on the word, if you focus on what God said, then, you know, it may take some time for you to get used to do that. But understand that the whole new man is something that you have to implement in your life. Put on the new man, says. And you put on the new man by crucifying the old man. Praise the Lord. Okay. This is what we should seek to have in our life. To manifest, not accept anything else. Just reject any other things. And focus, setting our mind on spiritual things. Our consciousness has to be directed. You can't complain. If you are tempted, if you go and expose yourself to all the wrong thing, if you go with the wrong people, if you start reading wrong stuff, if you watch the wrong shows on TV, if you do whatever you want to the movies, you know, whatever you do, you choose not to be mixed with those things because their company produces corruption in you. So you choose to do what lines up with the word of God, and you're going to have much fewer problems. And when there is any of the stuff left over there, you just reject it. You just crucify that. You put off the old man. But what happens is the more you do that, the more and more you're going to live as the new creation, and the new creation is going to become stronger and stronger and manifest itself and produce results and change your life, and you are going to have dominion over your circumstances. You are not going to be tossed around by things anymore. Praise the Lord. You know, God has given us the choice. we better make the right choices. That's what I'm saying. Okay. It says, you know, our goal, our things, okay, of the new man is really to please God. Okay. So we walk by faith, not by sight. Okay, it was 2 Corinthians 5:7. You know, it said in the following verse, and we are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. See, I mean our life. Okay, we rather go to heaven than to, you know, not to be present with the Lord, and we can be present with the Lord even now. We don't need to be wait until we go up there. We can be present in the Lord as the Lord lives in us, and so he's not that far. Okay. So, and, you know, and therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. Well-pleasing to him. So you see, that's our goal. That's what we desire. That's why we focus ourselves. As we focus ourselves on those things, all the other problems are going to disappear. Praise the Lord. I mean, that's the way we have to position ourselves as believers. If we don't do that consciously, you see, that's why I talk about consciousness. Conscious living is critical. People just go around like zombies, and you know, and you're a zombie. Okay. But if you consciously choose to do the things according to the Word, allowing the Word to stay in the Word, to stay, you know, to communion with God, to let God, He's going to actually guide you, take over your life, and make a difference in the things you experience, and you experience God all the time. You are blessed, because if you are, you know, experiencing God, the only thing you do is blessing. God only gives good things. All good things come from him. Praise the Lord. Oh, why, you know, I was not that blessed. Some choices that you have been making that are wrong choices. Some focus that is wrong focus that you are having. Some ideas that do not line up with the Word of God that you are accepting. Some complainings that you do when instead you shouldn't complain. You should praise him because his presence is in the praises of his people. We're talking about Thanksgiving. Well, you know, give thanks. Lilian read it to you. You know, in everything. Doesn't matter what's going on. You just, you know, you don't give thanks for the wrong thing. You know, you just give thanks to God because God is keeping you and he's going to change things and he's going to help you to overcome whatever needs to be overcome.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. Well, that brings us to the place, you know, why do believers do the wrong thing? Are you following what I'm saying? I mean, if you can come into this kind of experience as the new believer, as a, you know, the new man that has actually this life that is in communion with God, where the blessing flows, all the, you know, the things that God wants to produce in them, you know, why do anybody who has otherwise, why do they even choose the other stuff? You're going to see that next week. I mean, doesn't make any sense whatsoever. The thing is, I'm going to give you an advance. Mostly it's ignorance. Okay? Mostly it's ignorance. It's a bit more complicated than that, but basically it's ignorance, because you have to be really stupid to be able to choose the wrong thing, because there is no blessing whatsoever, when instead, you know, it's normal to want to be blessed. God made us in such a way that we want to be blessed. That should be enough to guide you to do the right thing, if you know what is the right thing. And that's the key. But anyway, we are going to, for now, we can close today. Did you get anything today? Okay. Well, we have much better even next week, because we can start understanding why the world is the mess it is. You know, even Christians. You know, it's insane. When you see that, you see what is available to us. Praise the Lord. God is so good that we can live in his blessings, and all these blessings shall come unto you. You know, and it's the list of blessings that God's done forever. You know, and that's what he wants for us. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Praise together that we keep our attention and our focus, you know, on the things that are going to make a difference in our life. That we may want in ourselves to choose things that are pleasing God. Because as we please God, we please ourselves. Okay? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Help me to make the right choices, to know that if I follow you, I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to know the goodness that you are, that you have for me. And I rejoice today that I can make those decisions. Help me to keep my thinking straight according to your word. Let me believe your word and allow your word to control my life. I thank you that I know that that is the truth that is going to change everything in my life, in this world, and in the one to come. And I give you praise and honor and glory for what you have done for me to be able to receive it. Because it's not that I deserve it. It's your mercy. It's your love. It's your wanting to bless me as your child that makes the difference. Thank you again in Jesus' name that made it possible. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.